You're listening to Elk Point Baptist Church. Subscribe to our podcast to hear every sermon and like us on Facebook by searching Elk Point Baptist Church, located in Elk Point, South Dakota.
I sure hope you know Jesus today. My goodness. Man, I'm glad I know the Lord. I really am. I'm glad it's not just about religion, but I'm glad I know Jesus as my Savior, and I sure hope you do too. And if you don't, I'd love to introduce you to him today. I sure would. So thank the Lord. All right, well, we are going to be in the book of Acts today, and I want to be speaking about the thought of choosing God's choice. Do you ever find yourself in a position to where you have to make a choice? You've got maybe you got a big decision to make in your life. Today, I want to share with you some key principles on how to make the right choice. And the way you can make the right choice today is by choosing God's choice. Choosing God's choice. Folks, God's choice is always right. Always. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can make a mess of things with my decisions. I can choose the wrong things. I feel like I choose the wrong thing every night about 9:30 when I choose to eat two big bowls of cereal, you know. Sometimes I make the wrong choices. And of course, there's some that are a whole lot more important than that. But we have a God, our all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wise, all-loving God always chooses right. He always chooses best. Always. So really, about making a choice, finding God's choice is what really matters. Not really necessarily what I want or even what somebody else may want. But what does God want? What is His will? Maybe you're facing a decision right now, looking for God's direction in your life. Maybe you feel like you're really needing insight for that next step. Well, in our text today, we find that this early group of believers is faced with a decision. And if you would look at with me in Acts 1, verse 14, where the Bible says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of names together were about 120, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." And then skip ahead with me to verse number 26, where the Bible says, I don't want to see 26. I want to see verse 24 instead. Look at 24. "And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men," notice this, "show whether of these two thou hast chosen." So here they are, they're needing to make a decision, but ultimately their prayer ends up into a place to where they say, "Lord, show us which one you've already chosen. You've already made the decision. You already know what's right." And the business that we're reading about here, as we see, starts with a prayer meeting. The very first meeting that the church had after Jesus ascended was a prayer meeting. They gathered together and prayed, and they were told to pray until they be endued with power from on high. And this prayer meeting lasted about 10 days. The first meeting was a prayer meeting. But in the midst of this prayer meeting, a business meeting arose. A business meeting arose, which is interesting. Especially considering the time that that's the time of year that we're entering into as well. This first business meeting, there's so many things that you could learn by this, but it's led by Peter. Some of you may or may not be familiar with this, but when you're studying your Bible and you're trying to learn and become a good student of God's Word, you learn several principles about Bible study. One of them is called the first mention principle. The first mention principle, which just simply means normally the first time a subject is introduced or mentioned in the Bible, you can normally draw principles that will follow through the rest of the Bible on that. And so there's a lot to learn about first. This is the very first business meeting, and we're not going to focus on all of this about decisions that you make in your life. But the fact that it was led by Peter is interesting to me. From an earthly perspective, an uneducated fisherman hardly seems like the one to fill this role. Jesus doesn't do things the way people think, the way conventional wisdom says. When Jesus went and chose his apostles, he didn't say, well, I need to get the most educated. I need to get the most stable. I need to get the most influential. No. One of the things that we've, you know, seen here recently is the fact that Jesus was even raised in the regions of Galilee and called his disciples out of the region of Galilee is that literally Jesus went to the country, not the city. He drew all of all of the apostles are country boys. They're all fishermen. They're all guys that they're just regular guys. And these are the guys that we're going to get. Man, they ran when Jesus was arrested, right? Peter denied that he knew the Lord. And Jesus says, okay, I've got to pick 12 men I'm going to use to change the entire world for my kingdom. Everything's going to rest upon these men. I'm going to pick these 12. He does things differently. First business meeting. Well, who should we get to run it? I know. Let's get that uneducated fisherman. Had never been to, you know, anything higher than a lower education his whole life, but he knows the Sea of Galilee. Well, what's he know about a business meeting, right? It's just funny to me. But anyway, that's not really the message. It just struck me as I was reading it. This is the first major decision that they're going to make without Jesus' earthly presence being with them. The business is to replace Judas. Judas, of course, is the one who betrayed the Lord. And then he went and killed himself. And we'll perhaps read that in just a moment. They're looking for someone to fill that 12th role that Judas failed in. So now there's 11 rather than 12 apostles. They're looking for someone particularly who witnessed the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what they're looking for. But in the verse that I shared with you, verse 24 says, and they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. It came down to two men, and God said, and they said, God, we know you've already made the decision. We just need to know what that decision is. Now, the reason they wanted 12, you know, I believe there's covenant reasons in there from the old covenant to the new covenant. That's not what the message is about today, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time about that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time debating on whether or not Matthias was he the one or not. There's all these debates around this. That's not what we're really talking about today. What I really want to see is this, that when it comes to making important decisions, really, the decision doesn't rest with us. Think about this. It's kind of a comforting thing, really. What are you trying to figure out? What is the question you have in your life? What's the choice that you have to make? Well, good news. It's already made. There is a right choice. God has already chose the right path. That's good news, right? It's in His hands. But we have to find out what it is. And that's where the pressure gets back on us again. But there's a comfort to me knowing that my God knows the right direction, the direction I should go, the way that I take. And really, finding what God wants is the only thing that matters. So I want to just give you a couple principles this morning on how to make important decisions. How to choose God's choice. First of all, there's something I do not want you to miss there. In verse 16, Peter stood, and here's the first thing he said, men and brethren, this scripture. Go down to verse 20 with me. For it is written in the book of Psalms. Folks, the very first thing they did, and the very first thing that I encourage you today, is to search the scriptures. What does thus saith the word of God? If you want to know the will of God, search the Word of God. If you want to know what God says, listen to Him speak. The Bible says in Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So when we think about searching the Scriptures, they search the Scriptures. We see, number one, the principle of supremacy in regards to searching the Scripture. In other words, go to God's Word before you go to anyone or anything else. Let God's voice be the first voice you seek when trying to make a choice, when trying to make a decision. What does God's Word say on the matter? Now, whether it be in principle or whether it be in precept. And what I simply mean by principle versus precept is this. There's some things in the Bible you do not have to pray about. Do you know that? You don't have to pray about certain things. Does God's Word say it clearly? Okay, don't pray about it. Well, I don't know if I should lie or not in this situation. I mean, oh no, you don't have to pray about that. God already said don't bear false witness, right? Don't lie. I'm not sure whether I ought to steal or not here. You don't have to pray about that, right? You get what I'm saying? It's precept. It's there. You know, I mentioned already today being Sanctity of Life Sunday. You do not have to pray about whether or not that you should, you know, whether or not to commit murder or support the execution of innocent children in the womb. You don't have to pray about that. Well, I don't know. Should I really? Should I not? No, you should not. Absolutely not. That's precept. But whether you find something in precept or whether you find something in principle, in other words, the principle is the Bible doesn't say, for instance, whether or not you ought to buy or sell a piece of land. You don't find that in the Bible. You don't find the colors that we're going to do in the church. You don't find the logo. You can't go to the Bible and say, well, preacher, right here it says about the logo that, you know, well, you don't find that. But we find certain principles in the Bible that help guide us. So there, even though certain things aren't spelled out, I'm telling you, God's Word has principles for everything that you face in your life. And so the principle of supremacy, seek God's Word first because it's the first verse we should hear. Not only the principle of supremacy, but how about the principle of soundness? Talking about seeking the Word of God. Never make a major decision when you're emotional. That's just practical advice, isn't it? You ever get worked up or things are all of a sudden everything in your life's falling apart, now you're ready to make this big decision? Well, that's not the time to make that decision. Maybe it's the other way. Maybe you're so high on things and things are so good. Man, it's time to run with this decision. Whoa, wait a second. Settle down. Make a decision with a sound mind. The principle of the supremacy of Scripture, the soundness of mind. Man, this is vital when it comes to making choices here today, okay? The principle of sincerity. The principle of sincerity. Now, I'll say that for this reason. Because sometimes we say we want to know the right choice, but it's as long as that right choice is what we want. Is this, I really want to know the right thing to do, and I hope this is the thing. I mean, anybody else like that? We want it to be a certain thing. The principle of sincerity. I like what the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:13. God says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." I want to challenge you in this, and I'm going to be coming back around to this, but I want to challenge you today to surrender your will to God's will. Surrender the choice to God. You remember this. The God, the Savior, who loved you enough that even when you were in sin, even knowing after you trusted Him and became a Christian how you would sin and fail Him, remember, the same God that loved you enough to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to suffer what He suffered for you, and to rise again the third day, it's amazing to me that you and I have the capability to question whether or not God has our best interest or not. But we do. I hate to say it, do you? You ever question that? Now, you may not say it, but you think about the apostles. They were on that ship. They were doing exactly what God told them to do. In the ship, going to the other side. A storm arose. What was the very first question they asked Jesus? You might remember?
Don't you care if we perish?
Don't you care if we perish, Lord? In other words, do you not care? So we can struggle with that. But I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to look at the facts rather than emotion. God uses our emotions. But what I want to encourage you today with is be sincere. Be willing to give the choice to God. This leads us to our next point. So the very first principle that we see with the disciples, the primary principle was they searched the Scriptures. But this kind of leads us to the second point. They sought counsel. They sought counsel. Now, if we're not sincere, we are going to do one of two things. Number one, we may just not seek counsel at all. Or if we're not sincere, we will only seek counsel of those who we think is going to agree with what we've already decided we want to do. I have encountered this at times as a pastor when people have sought counseling. And you could tell it almost immediately. Because they come and they say, Pastor, this is what I think I'm going to do. And if I'm to say, well, man, you know, scripturally, I just need you to understand that does not line up, you know, biblically with what you ought to do. And so my advice would not be to do that. They weren't coming for advice. They were coming for approval. And what they do is then they leave me and then they go find somebody else. Hey, here. And until finally somebody says, yep, that's what you ought to do. Okay, I sought counsel. So now I'm going to do this. So I encourage you to search the Scriptures as the first principle. Number two, seek counsel, but do it with the whole heart. Now, I want you to think about something. This is cool to me. We talked already about the guy leading this meeting, this business meeting. It's Peter. You know, Peter always had an answer, did he not? He had an answer whether you asked it or not. I mean, he always had something to say. But folks, in this first meeting, even brash, opinionated Peter really didn't have much to say outside of sharing where they were at and what the Scripture said. And then he involved that entire 120 that were gathered there. He got together with the church just like this and said, okay, guys, here's what the Scripture says. Here's the decision we need to make. And they begin to discuss it. They begin to talk about it. They sought counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The business at hand is church business. So it's not for one man to get up there and make these decisions unilaterally. He's involving everyone here. Together, the church seeks the Lord and comes to a place of oneness. And that's how we function as a church. Now, that doesn't mean that it's a democracy in the sense of a democracy. If you want to see a true democracy, you look at the French Revolution, right? I mean, because we have the Word of God, and so therefore the Word of God is going to dictate much of how we do things, but still every voice matters at Elk Point Baptist Church. And at this church, and that's why it does here too. So when we have a meeting, and we strive for unity, but mark this, we do not strive for uniformity. There's a difference. Unity says, hey, we might not all agree 100%, but ultimately, we agree to trust God and go with God. We agree with that. But not uniformity. I was given the example the other day, and I kid you not, as a pastor, I remember one of the very first serious decisions that we had to make as a church, and I can't remember if it was about this building or about the land that we purchased or what it may have been, but I remember that there was somebody that cast a dissenting vote. And I believe the reason was is that we allowed call-in vote, whatever it was, but they didn't agree with the way the process went. And so they just said, I want to say that I'm voting against this because I don't agree with the way the process went. What was my reaction? I literally smiled. I literally grinned because I'm like, yes, people get it. It's not you have to agree. You have to do what we say. Everybody's got to say the exact same. That's uniformity, right? But unity says, hey, I just want to make a note. I want it to be known that I don't agree. However, this is what the congregation, everybody but me, voted for, so I'm cool. He didn't go around trying to find other people that felt the same way, right? Because that's where you lose unity. So there's a balance between unity and uniformity. Unity says, hey, my voice is known, not in favor of this. It's not uniformity. But then unity is, I'm just going to keep banging the drum, and I'm going to cause a fit, and I'm going to... What? No, it's just, hey, noted. Okay, cool. You're against it? Cool. Now let's move on and buy the building or buy the land or whatever it was. And that's what we did. You don't have to have 100%. So they sought counsel. Everybody's voice matters. When you have a choice, here's where it gets back to you as an individual. This is good advice for as a church, good principle as a church. But number one, if you've got a major decision, if you got a choice, seek the scripture, number one. Number two, seek counsel. Find somebody wise, find somebody godly, find a group of people that you can trust, that you trust that they have this. And now remember, this isn't a business savvy or worldly wise bunch of people they got here, but they are people who have been with Jesus. Amen? There are people that have been with Jesus. There are people that love one another. So, number one, they searched the scripture. Number two, they sought counsel. So, what do you do if you got a major decision? You got a major choice. Number one, search the scripture. Number two, seek counsel. Number three, seek the Lord. And that's probably first, but I'm just going in the order of the way it's presented in the passage. Verse 24 again says, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show us whether of these two you have chosen. So they sought the Lord. Folks, they prayed. They prayed. Pray about it. Have you ever, I don't know if you've ever done this or not, and I hate to admit it, but in my life there's been times to where I have actually failed to pray about something. I have. I think about it, and maybe I talk to people, and then it's just like, well, did you pray about it? And I'm like, well, no, I guess I didn't. I guess I didn't actually take and say, God, I need help on this decision. You already know the right way to take. Pray about it. Matthew 7:7, Jesus said this, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. James 4:2 says, Ye have not because ye ask not. So go to God and say, God, what is your choice? And then the last principle I want to say about making a choice, making a major decision, is number four, they surrendered control. They surrendered control. Anybody like Yahtzee? I grew up playing Yahtzee. I love playing Yahtzee. It's a fun game. But when you play Yahtzee, I can remember as a kid that sometimes I'd get frustrated because when you're playing Yahtzee, you know, you roll the dice and you let them go. And you know, you can be good at Yahtzee because you know, you kind of, whatever, I think I'm pretty good at Yahtzee. But sometimes you can't really be good at Yahtzee because it's kind of a game of chance, right? But listen, there's times, I don't know if anybody's ever did this, but when I was younger, I can remember that I would get the dice in my hand a certain way. Six, six, six. I'm not superstitious. Six. All right, man. Here, I'm getting Yahtzee. Yeah! Yahtzee! Anybody else ever do that? Maybe I'm the only one. All right. Yahtzee. Now, you say, preachers, is he having a stroke or what's going on up there? He's talking about Yahtzee all of a sudden. The fourth principle is this. If you've got a major decision to make, number one, seek the scripture. Number two, seek counsel. Number three, seek the Lord in prayer. Number four, surrender control. Surrender control. Verse 24, again, we'll read it. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two men thou hast chosen. that they may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And notice this, and they gave forth their lots. And the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. Their lots. And it fell on Matthias. Now, this ancient custom of casting lots was not exactly like playing Yahtzee, you know. But just for our understanding, it's similar in the fact that they would throw, it could be stones, it could be sticks, it could be other things. But the idea is they would take their lots and they would cast their lots. That's not casting, is it? They would cast their lots. Let's see what it's going to be. This custom had been going on in the East for thousands of years. Priests in the Old Testament were decided this way. The land of Canaan was divided up this way. Lots. It's just throughout the Bible. Over and over and over again, you read about it. It was part of that Eastern culture and custom. Now, God used the custom of that day. This is a good example to introduce, or a good opportunity to introduce another important Bible principle when you're studying, and it's this. What is descriptive is not necessarily prescriptive. In other words, it describes the way in their culture and customs that they would come up with a decision. They did it by casting lots. Now, if that were prescriptive, there's people that just read everything in the Bible and think it's prescriptive. Oh, well, preacher, we better start casting lots because that's how it described they did. Well, it described that. It's just descriptive, but it doesn't prescribe that to us. God took the culture and the custom of their day and worked through it. Today, our culture and custom is voting. But it's still interesting, isn't it? What do you do with your vote? You cast your vote. You cast it. All right, just like you cast a lot, you cast a vote. Now, by the way, it's interesting how this the lot still has its footprint in our day, because some of you have the what do you call it? There's a tax on the ignorant. I can't take that back, can I? And therefore, you play the L-O-T, lot-ery, or you play the lot-o. And again, that's your business, right? Okay, I feel guilty for calling you ignorant now. I wish I could have quoted that. I wish I could have said, Dan Keel said that that's a tax on the ignorant. But anyway, all right, so... Lot. Now here's a principle that we've operated under. Now, just back up a second here. You got the very first business meeting of the church. Jesus doesn't even stay for it. He leaves. He leaves Peter in charge. The guy that just denied him a few. It's just all crazy the way God does things sometimes. It's foolish from man's perspective, the way God does things sometimes. And then we've got this super important decision to make. There's only 12 of us. There's only 12 of these jobs in the world. This is the most important job in the world. Well, what are we going to do? I know. I brought my Yahtzee game with me. Let me go get the dice out of there and let's see. Who's it going to be? Right? And I'm just saying from man's perspective, you can see how this is. But this is the principle that we've operated by. Notice this. In Proverbs 16, verse 33, I want to teach you this verse really quickly. Let it go. Surrender control. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, 33, the lot is cast into the lap. Now, the idea there being that a priest or someone would be sitting here and they'd cast the lots on their lap. Or maybe there would be a bowl or a hat or something of that nature, and they would cast the lot. So the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. To dispose means to set, to place, or distribute, to arrange. and it's used with reference of order. So the lesson is not that we should use games of chance to determine God's will. But the picture and the imagery is that casting the lots takes it out of our hand and puts it into God's hands. It's no longer in our hand. We take it out of our hand, we put it into, we commit the decision to God, and when we commit our decisions to Him, God guides us. They weren't just casting lots. Listen to this. Here's the principle about your decision making, okay? Surrender control. They weren't just casting lots, they were casting their lives. They were saying, Lord, my hands are off. Lord, here am I. Here's my future. They were casting themselves upon God's wisdom. Can you trust in that? Can you trust it? Can you trust in just letting it go like that? And that it's going to work out? And that God is going to... Now, that's not easy for anyone, but let's face it, there's some of you that have a lot harder time than that. Your casting lot still looks a lot like me as a kid. Okay. There it is. Well, okay, technically it's out of your hand, but you decided what it was going to be before you let it go. You don't decide what it's going to be before you let it go. You let it go. You surrender control. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, 5 and 6 say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. When you cast something, you let it go. Now here's the thing we're getting back to. Remember I mentioned this earlier. Can you trust God enough to let it go? Can you trust God enough with your life to say, okay, Lord, I'm putting it in your hands. I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm going where you want me to go. I want to say that you can, but will you trust God that much? Can you take your hands off? Can you take your hands off and put God's hands on it? That's scary. Matter of fact, God, if you're saved by God's grace, it's amazing to me because you had to trust in Him with all your heart that He would forgive your sins and become your Savior. So you trusted your entire eternity with Him. But now you're not sure if you can trust Him with your career. You're not sure if you can trust Him with your mate. You're not sure if you can trust Him with, you know, whatever the decision it is that you're not sure if you can trust Him with. Wait, so you gave your soul to Him, and you're trusting that He's loving and powerful and wise enough and honest enough to get you to heaven, but you're not so sure that you can trust Him with these other things. Ain't that crazy? That's how we do. But it's all of us. It's our human nature. We're prideful people. We're prone to idolatry. That's how we are. Taking your hand off can be hard. But I encourage you today, cast yourself, cast your will, cast your care. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And this stuck in my mind, I think about it often, years ago, that some of us try to cast like a fisherman cast. No, that's not the casting we're talking about. Yeah, Lord, I'm going to cast my care on You. Now give me that back. I hadn't worried all week. Give me something to worry about, Lord. I'm not going to give that to You. I want to bring that back to myself. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about casting it on the Lord. Casting your troubles on the Lord. Giving it to the Lord. When you're making a decision, listen, surrender control to God. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So in closing, I want to say this today. God chose to send His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you. God chose to allow you to be here today, to be listening today to the presentation of the gospel, the fact that Jesus loved you, that your sins separate you from God, but that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. And then if you would choose to turn your back on sin, let go of whatever it is that you're holding on to, whether it's religion, whether it's your sin, whatever it is, and receive the gift of salvation. That's the choice. God's chosen. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has chosen for you to be saved. He chose to die for you. Will you choose to receive the gift of salvation? So if you're here today and you're not saved, I want to encourage you in that. But it would be hard to leave these verses with us about to go into a meeting of sorts and preparing for another meeting in a couple of weeks without them point out a couple of other things here, application to our life. Church, we are in business and budget season, and how can we apply these scriptures? Number one, we look to the scriptures. We look to the scriptures. We cannot afford to be dogmatic about our opinions, right? And that's just not how we are here, by God's grace. Because really, ultimately, our opinion comes out to be an opinion among many opinions, right? We're dogmatic on Scripture. Hey, the Bible says this clearly. We can't move on that. But the Bible doesn't say dogmatically that these walls should have been green instead of gray. Well, they should be green. They shouldn't be green. You know, but by the way, that don't happen. I'm just telling you. But just encouraging us to stay on the path that we've been on. We look to the Scriptures. Number two, we seek counsel. Everybody's voice matters. We're always striving for unity. You know, I'll say this when it comes to meeting together. Think about Peter. You don't read Peter didn't really have a lot to say. We should be wise with our words when we're in a meeting. It's not our time to shine. You know, I got to think to myself, what if everybody was talking as much as I was? Right? I got to think about that because I'm a talker. It's like, we'd be here for 2 days. It's like I need to be wise with the volume of my words, but I also need to be volume with the spirit of my words. Peter led the meeting, but he did not dominate. He respected the voice and the time of others. Seek counsel. The only agenda that we ever come to a meeting with has to be God's agenda. Has to be. Pray. And then let go. Cast your vote. Make your position known. That's fine. But ultimately, take your hands off. Don't try to go rally support, right? We don't do that. I'm going to die on this mountain type of thing. If it's not Scripture, we don't die on that mountain. You know, I was reminded, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was reminded of something I used to say a little bit more often. Disagreement is welcome around here. It really is. I've already said that. Because we're not robots, right? We're trying to grow. We're trying to figure stuff out. And sometimes we'll have a Bible study and we'd have open questions. And I remember Ralph particularly, maybe he'd ask a question about something I preached. And he'd say, hey, I don't know if I agree with that or not. And we might have a little conversation back and forth of like, well, here's what, why not? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, I'm not convinced. I still think you're wrong. But then I'd use the terminology with Ralph because we'd have these conversations time to time, and I'd say, but it's not a parking lot issue. In other words, it's not we're taking this out of the parking lot right now. We'll see who's right. It's just like not a big deal. It's fine. It's okay. Right? In other words, take your hands off. Somebody may have felt really strongly about justice being the one. They may have felt certain that he was the one. But you don't read about anybody saying, well, I'm not going to, this isn't happening until we all agree on justice. No. Somebody may want justice. But ultimately, they took their hands off. They weren't insistent. They didn't dominate. They didn't filibuster. Ultimately, they put it into God's hands and let God make the decision for His church. And so, as I think about that, and I can think of examples of that, there's been decisions made around here that I have been a part of making the decision that I have said, no. I don't want that or I want something different. But guess what? The vast majority said, well, that's fine. Thank you, Pastor. Now, we're not talking about anything scripture here, okay? We're just talking about colors. We're talking about something in the remodel stuff, right? And ultimately, it's just like, I just want to note that this is what I would go with, or I wouldn't do this. But if the rest of y'all are going with it, cool. And you know what I believe? I believe that the lot is cast into the lap. But I believe that the disposing thereof is of the Lord. So ultimately, I believe that they were right and I was wrong. Ultimately, I believed on what I voted no on was God's will. Because the lot was cast into the lap, but the disposing thereof is of the Lord. I trust God that much. That's the way I trust God when it comes to these things. And I encourage you to do the same thing. And so if we could have a piano player come. Oh, there's Kim. She's going to come on up and play. And let's all stand and we're going to be dismissed. I appreciate your patience this morning. Do you know Christ as Savior today? If you don't, I want to invite you. There is nothing greater than knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. He will save you today. But here's what I want to invite every one of our church leaders, everybody that is a member, anybody and everybody that would have any part in the business, in the talk of the budget, I want to invite you right now. Could we follow the pattern of the apostles and gather together and pray before we have business? If you would, if you're a member, come forward. You don't have to kneel. Come and stand. But come forward. And by doing so, we're saying, Lord, we want your decision. Ultimately, we want your will. So I invite every member, every leader, every servant. Some may kneel, some may stand, but let's gather together. There's still some coming. I'm letting you come. Would you be willing to surrender to God's choice today? Let's pray together. Lord, we are so grateful to be a part of your kingdom. I'm glad that you saved me. And God, if there's anybody here today that is not saved, Lord, I pray that right now, that from their hearts, they'll cry out and say, Dear Lord Jesus, right now I acknowledge you that I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died on the cross and rose again for me. And I invite you into my heart and life. I receive the gift of salvation. I pray you'll help somebody to pray that from their heart today. And as a church, God, we are so thankful to just be a part of your work. This isn't my church. I mean, it is in the sense that I belong here, but this is your church. Every decision we're going to make is your decision, Lord. Every problem we'll ever have is your problem. Every work we ever have is your work. And God, we want to commit ourselves to trusting you, to trusting that your will is going to be done, that we can seek your word, we can seek counsel, we can pray, and we can ultimately surrender control and say, Lord, thy will be done. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We believe, Lord, but for some of us, we may need to pray, but Lord, help mine unbelief. Help us, God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You are dismissed.